This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just gone 5 minutes past midday. Welcome to Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
I'm actually not too bad. I'm surviving. I'm surviving Queer Film Week.
Oh, right. Phil?
I'm finer than that.
You're finer than that, are you? Oh, right. Good.
Yeah, which isn't really an answer.
No. MQFF is on, and of course there's a lot of people losing a lot of sleep because they go to lots of movies. Yes.
A little bit worse than that now. Do you realise, of course, that the nights are longer than the days?
Yes, that's right. Yes, we've just passed the equinox.
Yes.
So we're now officially in autumn.
Exactly, right. This is autumn. Yeah.
So there we go. Welcome to autumn. And yep. In fact, Melbourne always puts on a gorgeous autumn.
Not today.
Oh, that's all right.
No, it's not so bad. It's not
22?
Yeah, it's 22. It's still quite warm outside when you go outside. Just a little bit of rain, keep the dust down.
Welcome to Joy's History Program, highlighting gay icons, dicons and bicons, and those pioneers in the gay and broader communities, interesting events in history that still affect our lives, and courtesy of our collective Disturbed Minds, useless pieces of trivia.
Oh, God, our brains are full of it. Yeah, but first of all, we have to thank Tim for the news, don't we?
Oh, yes, Tim. Thank you very much, Mr. Tim. And we also need to thank Lance on the desk this morning and Gary and Lana for the morning show.
That's right.
The Gazman.
The Gazman. And now Julia's taking up the phone. So if you want to talk to Julia, 1-300-JOY-949.
We will have a prize a little halfway through the show. So you've got to stay listening
for
that.
You can call
that.
Julia and tell us how fantastic we are.
Yes.
0427 JOY 949.
Or you can SMS 0427 JOY 949. Or you can email on air at joy.org.au.
Or you could send a pigeon. They land right outside our window.
They land right outside the window, don't they?
Yes.
We've got a few birthdays this week, haven't we?
We have, but one of the things about gay community seems to be, not that I'm part of this aspect of the community, is gossiping.
Yeah, I don't like gossip. I don't pass on much of it. Yeah,
No, I don't.
I prefer to give news items out. If somebody wants me to know something, I'll tell them a bit about the news. But the gossip, I find, is just a waste of time.
My mum said, you know, if you haven't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That's exactly right.
I didn't answer that when my mum said that. I had nothing to say.
You had nothing to say. Okay.
But Perez Hilton's made a living out of it.
Oh, God, yes, hasn't he ever? It's his birthday today.
23rd of the 3rd, 1978. Yes, and he's still alive. Yes. But see, he's probably living on the modern instruments, the internet and Twitter and Facebook. He's
probably where he became famous, isn't it?
Yeah.
How he became famous,
and
actually.
And that's how the greatest gossip is spread these days.
He was actually a very vicious gossip early on.
But he's pulled back a lot now, hasn't he?
When the anti-bullying campaign started in America, he realised that he was being a bully.
Yes.
And quite to his credit, he turned 180, and
now he doesn't
by
do
his
it.
Standards, quite nice.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so I know he's changed, yeah.
So other people who are bullies should be given him as a point of reference to see how you can change.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder, do we know any bullies?
Probably there are quite a few bullies around. There's a few bullies that that psychological bullying is very, very prevalent. Which is a nasty thing to do. That's even worse than being punched in the face, as being psychologically bullied, because that doesn't show.
I have to bring in a Simpsons reference.
Oh, good.
They have quite a few bullies on the Simpsons, and they buy their clothing at the Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much indeed.
It had to be
but
said.
There's also another lady that's having a birthday today, too.
Well, yes.
Well, this week, the 28th, actually, just towards the end of the week. And she's been a great supporter of the Joy movement. I mean, well, we are the Joy movement, aren't we? Of the gay movement.
Indeed.
And all around America, raised millions of dollars in some aspects for gay bits and pieces. She's done lots of work.
And we're talking about Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanotta.
Yeah, that's
better
right.
Better known as Lady Gaga.
Better known as Lady Gaga, yeah.
Who got her name from a Queen song.
Did she?
Radio Gaga.
Radio Gaga. Oh, that's right.
Oh, all right then. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But she seems to have been around for a long time, but she's very avant-garde, she's been pushing the boundaries, and she's probably been in the firing line for plenty of gossip merchants over the years and over the days.
Yeah, she's actually stood up for the Gay and Lesbian United, the USA Armed Forces gay people that have been in the army with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She stood up for them and done lots of work for them as well.
But she actually acknowledges that much of her early success was as a mainstream artist was to her gay fans, and this is why we, she is a gay icon.
And one of her best known songs, of course, is one we're going to play, isn't it?
It is indeed. You're on Joy 94.9, Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
The world's most uplifting radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Someone else who's having a birthday this week on the 25th of March will be Elton John, born in 1947. And, of course, he's been a very major part of the gay movement over the years. And he's married and legally married in Pommy Land.
That's right. They only had a civil ceremony to start with, and then they weren't going to get married, but then they decided they better, and so they got married when they could be married.
Yes,
which was changed the law. Yeah,
very recently as well.
Only last year it was. Yeah,
but of course they've got a family as well. They've got young Zach, who was born in 2010, and young Elijah, born in 2013.
Yes, well, Zach was born on Christmas Day, so he's going to get two lots of presents, isn't he?
Well, maybe not.
I tell you what, he chose some great names for them, didn't he? Zachary Jackson Levon Furnish John. That's going to be a lot to put on your passport when you get older.
Exactly.
We've just had a message come through. Hi, guys. If you watched Modern Family last night, Cam and Mitchell used the term gantique, gay antique, when they felt old was visiting a dance club. It was a funny episode. What do you think of this term? A gantique. Okay, that's probably what I could call myself. Do you know that have you ever wondered about storybooks for children of same-sex families?
Well, I'm just wondering how they get on
now. Well,
teaching Zach and Elijah.
Well, I don't know. But earlier I interviewed Leslie Newman about her book Heather Has Two Mummies. It was first published in 1989 in the US and is now updated, reprinted and re-released here in Australia. It will be released tomorrow, actually, on the 24th. The book is a children's book with illustrations. The story is about a child, Heather, raised by two lesbian women, her biological mother and her same-sex partner. At Heather's playgroup, the family situation is discussed simply and positively. I asked Leslie about the genesis of the life of the book and how the first edition was received.
1990s, when people started taking notice of the book, some people were very happy that the book existed, and some people were very unhappy that the book existed. For example, there was a big controversy in New York City over the Rainbow Curriculum, which was a multicultural curriculum for New York, which has the largest public school district in the country, and it's very diverse. And so the Chancellor of Education decided the curriculum should reflect that diversity. But some people were very upset that in the realm of diversity, families with same-sex parents were included.
Right. So how did you come to write the book? What caused you to write it?
Well, actually, the idea was not mine. I was stopped on the street by a woman I knew who had just started a family, and she said, "We have no books to read our daughter that shows a family like ours. Somebody should write one." And that somebody turned out to be me.
So you were at the right spot at the right time.
I think so.
It's nearly 26 years now since it's been published. Is it still causing any controversy over there now?
It was actually out of print for a little while. So, now it's coming back with brand new illustrations. And who knows what will happen? I'm curious myself to see if it does cause controversy or if the world has changed so much that it's just not even going to be noticed.
I found that the book is beautifully illustrated. I really, really loved it when I had a look at it. And it's it's a beautiful little book.
Well, thank you.
It's such a... Well, being an older man myself and not a father, but I can understand how the simplicity of it would appeal to children, especially because it's so well written and such beautiful illustrations that you couldn't help but a small child would absolutely adore it.
Well, you know, I think with this particular edition, there's a lot of joy. So it's very clear that both Heather's mommies adore her and that Heather's a very happy child. She's a confident child. She's marching off to her first day of school in her purple cowgirl boots and a pink tutu and blue shorts and an orange and yellow striped dress and a flower in her hair. I mean, she just exudes joy, which is a wonderful thing.
She certainly does, and that's one of the way the book is illustrated. It shows that to a great advantage, yes. Now, you've also written other books as well for children, haven't you?
I have, many.
You've written some for gay dads as well?
I do have a book called Daddy, Papa, and Me, which is about a child with two dads. It's a board book. And there's a companion book called Mommy, Mama, and Me, which is about a kid with two moms. And then I have another book called Donovan's Big Day, which is about a little boy named Donovan whose two moms get married. And then I also have written a lot of books about Jewish families and customs and holidays.
So you're constantly writing then?
I am constantly writing, that's true.
Well, it's good when you are an author to be published like that. It must be an absolutely wonderful feeling to see a book come out and be published, especially something like Heather Has Two Mummies, because I just fell in love with it. I just think it's gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
So what is happening with you in the future? Have you got something more else in the pipeline now?
I always have something in the pipeline. Yes, I have another Candlewick title coming out in the fall. It's called Quetzal, the Cat Who Composed, and it's a true story based on a true story of a cat who walked down the piano one day, and her owner was a composer who wrote down what he heard and sent it into a contest.
Oh, very good. That sounds like cute. That sounds quite cute, actually, yeah.
Well, when I read about this, I thought, well, that's a children's book waiting to happen, and so I decided to write it.
Your brain must be always think quite young, does it?
I'd like to think so.
Well, as you get older, you want to stay young anyhow.
Stay engaged with the world. That's very important.
That is so true, too. Yeah. Is the situation in America any different now to what it was then as far as the religious right and all the rest of it? Do they still have a great sway as to what is read and put in bookshops?
Well, you know, I think times have really changed. I mean, there definitely are still pockets of radical right-wing people who are not open to diversity, and that's very sad. But the tide in the U.S. has really changed. I mean, we have 37 states where gay marriage is recognized, including, and in addition, the District of Columbia. And I do think it's going to be across the land very soon. You know, the Supreme Court is hearing it. So I think times are different. And I think love conquers all. Love will triumph. And I think diverse families will be more and more accepted, respected, and celebrated as time goes on.
Yes, because I keep reading the American magazines, The Advocate and Out magazine, and I keep up with how far the Americans are going with their same-sex marriages. We're here in Australia, we're not allowed to do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, no. We've got a Prime Minister that doesn't think that it's worthwhile, we shouldn't do it, and the right-wing conservatives don't want to do it, and it's a bit difficult, but it'll eventually change, I suppose, one day it'll happen, but it's we seem to be being left behind the eight ball, I'm afraid. As it will change, yeah. Leslie, thank you very much for your time and having a chat with us here on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, and I just hope that the it's a good success here in Melbourne, because it's just such a lovely thing, and it's being published here on the 24th of March, as I believe, on the little write-out that I had from the publishers. So,
yes, that is the release date.
That's the release date, yeah, so it's going to be fun. Leslie, thank you very much, and good luck in the future.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
That's all right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Now, there we were. That was Leslie Newman, who wrote Heather Has Two Mummies. Now, if you would like to win a copy of the book Heather Has Two Mummies, you must be a Joy member, and you can't have won a prize in the last 2 weeks. Now, Heather Has Two Mummies offers an enjoyable, upbeat, age-appropriate introduction to the ideas of family diversity. The book is essential for children with gay parents or family members. It doesn't matter who makes up a family. The most important thing about a family is that all people in it love one another. This delightful edition features fresh illustrations by Laura Cornell and an updated story by Leslie Newman. And the first person that calls up 1-300-JOY-949 and speaks to Julia, give us your name and your membership number, you could win that wonderful, wonderful book, Heather Has Two Mummies.
And you needn't necessarily be a direct parent. You might be a grandparent or an uncle.
You could give it away as a present to somebody that you think would might like it.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes, so there we go.
Sounds like there's lots of lessons to be learned from this subtle bit of propaganda.
Yes, well, it would make a lovely, lovely book for a lovely, lovely present as well. So there is Heather Has Two Mummies, 1-300-JOY-949, and chat to Julia.
And let's hear from Elton John and one of his famous songs. And remember that he's a parent as well, here on Joy.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land?
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Chris and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us today.
And we've had a message from our wonderful Nina. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So glad to be home. She's been a bit indisposed, so I can hear your delightful show. Kisses and hugs, kisses and hugs, kisses and hugs. And same back to you, Nina, too. Hope you're enjoying the show and I hope you're feeling a lot better.
Yes,
is
indeed.
The main thing.
Yes, although we're not allowed to hug the microphones.
No, we could hug them. We've just all hugged the microphone for
and
you.
See, that's why.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah. Now, there's a thing that's been going around a lot lately. Well, it hasn't been going around a lot. They thought they'd cured it, hadn't they?
Well, we're talking about a disease that seems to have been around for a long, 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 long time, and there has been lots of attempts to eliminate it or get it under control, but it seems as though it's a bit resilient. Some people are actually saying it's the Black Death of our time.
Yeah.
It's a serious threat that can't be ignored any longer. And in fact, the World Health Organization back in 1998 predicted there would be the onset of a world epidemic of TB.
TB, yes.
Tuberculosis.
And tomorrow is actually World Tuberculosis Day.
Yeah.
It's named that because on the 24th of March in 1882, the German scientist Robert Koch announced the discovery of the bacillus responsible for tuberculosis. Yeah, so something that's got to be done. Now, sorry, we're passing papers over here. Oh, well, how about that? Yes, okay. We just got the news. Nina has won and is very happy with a big thank you to the boys. Nina has won the book prize. Thank you, Nina. I'm sure you'll see somebody to give it to. You might want to keep it yourself because it's absolutely beautiful. And thank you. Thank you for that. Now, back to tuberculosis after the beautiful Nina. It's a disease that is so rampant in certain parts of the world that they're finding it very difficult to control. And Papua New Guinea is one of them,
The reason that we're getting freaked out about that is because it's just across the Strait.
Torres Strait. Yeah.
It is Torres Strait, there, yeah. And, of course, there are lots of people who actually...
jump across.
They do. Yeah. Well, they don't jump. They use their canoes. Lots of people
Some
on the
Some of
island.
Us walk.
Oh, but you can on water, can't you, Phil? You're so good.
I couldn't. Yeah. I got these nail holes in my feet.
They keep sinking, do you?
Stop it.
Yeah, but the strain that they have in New Guinea is basically
drug resistant,
and that they're finding it very, very difficult to combat it. And they try to make sure that it doesn't get down to Australia, because if it gets into Australia, well, it won't be any good. And
it's a selfish thing for us to say.
Yes, I know, but you've got to try to keep yourself, the country, healthy. But the worst part about tuberculosis is you get it from just breathing. People that have sort of may have coughed or breathed somewhere near you that carry the germ. And it can lie dormant for many, many, many years and then all of a sudden come forward again.
Well, I don't know how you got on, but I, in my school days, actually had a vaccination against the current TB of that time. Mm. So they sort of pinpricked my arm and then it went all festery and everything. And I thought, oh, yucky poo. And a scab went on it.
We had a thing in the forearm. We had a little injection in the forearm. And if it became thick and lumpy, it meant that you were... I'm not sure whether you had the disease or you didn't have the disease. If you had the disease, you were fine because you'd fought it off and you were okay or something. I can never remember. It was because we were only in... I think, primary school before year six, I think it was, when that happened, or might have been just after. But it was a thing to do. And a friend of mine, he actually had TB, and every year he used to have to go for an X-ray to make sure everything was fine.
Well, we're sort of freaked out about HIV and AIDS being the worldwide killer, but TB is second only to HIV AIDS, due to a single infectious agent. And in 2013, apparently, according to figures from the World Health Organization, 9 million people fell ill with TB, and 1.5 million of those died from the disease.
Not a good ratio, is it?
And of course, the Burnett Institute down here in Melbourne, our wonderful Burnett Institution, they're having their fundraiser at the moment, because you and I are both on their mailing list.
Well, that's
Chris,
right. And they do lots of research.
They do research in epidemiology and all the rest of it, and they are trying to raise money to find somehow to stop this, find something that will cure this this disease, actually, in New
Guinea.
Well,
of course, it attacks the lungs, but then it gets into other parts of the body, such as the brain and the heart. In the brain, it causes meningitis, or a form of TB meningitis. In the lungs, it sort of buggers everything up there completely. And in the heart, it sets in rot there and affects the performance of the heart. So it's just not a coughing type disease. It's worse than that.
Yeah, but a friend of mine, I've just found out, he had cancer in the bladder, and they're going to inject him with TB.
What?
Yeah, because apparently the TB does something to into the bladder, and whatever it does, I don't know, I can't quite understand it. But they said they can cure the TB after it's gone through and killed off the cancer or something or other in the bladder.
Isn't that marvellous?
Amazing, I said because they can cure the TB. You know?
So they don't cure it in the original form, but once it's actually done its work and it's emptied its shell, then they can eliminate that.
Oh. I was amazed. And I said, you sure? He said, yeah. That's what they said they're going to do to me. And I said, well, okay, good luck to you.
Well, did you know that 1/3 of the world's population has latent TB?
Yes, we carry it with us, apparently.
Yes, people have been infected but are not yet ill with the disease and cannot transmit it.
That's right, yeah.
That's scary, 1/3.
Yeah, it's a very, very common disease. And, of course, the fellow that found the German fella, he also discovered the bacilli that I've got it somewhere here. There were several other diseases he found the bacillus for, and he became very famous for us. Anthrax, he was the one that found the anthrax bacillus in 1877, and the cholera bacillus. He was the fellow that found those three things.
Oh, you wouldn't be wanting to work with those bugs, especially if you hadn't been exposed to them previously.
I would imagine he would have been gowned up and everything like they would have been. Yeah. Well, you don't know in those days, 1877, 1877.
They probably hadn't realised the potency of these diseases.
I think he would have not realised the potency of those diseases. Yeah, but he was apparently quite a brilliant man. Robert Koch.
Yeah. Well, apparently some of the symptoms of the TB are coughs and fevers and night sweats and weight loss. And, of course, in the tropics, the disease can sort of spread and you probably don't realise you've got it until it's well and truly stuck there. What a bugger. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's lovable radio station. Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that.
That's us, being here, doing this.
Oh, it is indeed, indeed.
How many weeks have we been doing this? We've been doing this for a fair while now.
What time is it now?
Nearly quarter to one, actually. Yeah.
Then we've been doing it for ages.
Yeah, we're doing it for ages, yeah. But do you realise that on this day in 2009, in the state of Vermont in America, they passed the legislation for same-sex marriage?
Well,
that's,
of course, they're one
6 years ago.
They're one of 37 states now out of the 50. Is it still 50 states?
52.
Phil?
Yes.
50, is it?
52 cards in a deck.
Oh, 50
states in America.
Yeah, okay.
Just, you can remember it by Hawaii being the last one added.
Yes.
And it's Hawaii 5-0.
That's why the TV
show got the name.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Okay. Right.
But they don't have a TV show called Alaska 49.
No, that was Sarah Palin 49, wasn't it?
Yeah.
IQ, yeah.
Oh, No, stop it. But about the same time in 2009, Serbia, of all countries, approved a bill to ban discrimination on race, religion, sexual orientation, gender, and other factors. Now,
yeah. I'm not sure. What religious denomination do the people of Serbia, are they Catholic or Orthodox or Muslim?
Well, I think there's a mix there.
Probably a mix.
And I think
lot.
This is totally amazing that a war-torn country like Serbia has actually realised that getting things sorted includes human rights.
Well, of course, we've got all those human rights as well now here in Australia because they did pass a law. Had they passed the same-sex marriage bill, all those things would have been gone anyhow. Mm. But they had to pass 57 different bills to get the 57 bits and pieces through the parliament.
So we're, part of the revolution is still occurring and we're still going through it.
Yep, that's right.
Of course, here in Victoria, we're still waiting for equal adoption rights for same-sex couples.
Did Premier Andrews say he was going to do something about that, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, and he is actually working down the path of that because, as you say, there's legislation, there's supporting stuff that's got to be put in place, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that have got to go in place to make it happen, And he's also for same-sex marriage too.
Yeah.
But, of course, he can't do it because it's a federal thing, same-sex marriage.
We can call it telescope legislation.
Telescope legislation, what do you mean?
He's looking into it.
Oh, right.
Mirror.
Oh, it could have been a microscopic inspection.
Well, I was trying to be more positive.
Oh, you're
trying.
Yes. All right.
And, of course, Victoria's, when we pass it, we'll still be catching up to the other states and territories.
That's right.
Because New South Wales, Western Australia, ACT and Tassie have all got
adoption rights
for gay couples.
Yeah.
So, especially if there's IVF birth involved.
That's right.
In the relationship. And really the surrogate has some rights, but then when you pass the what would you like to call adoption
laws
then in fact it gives the opportunity to for the family
for
the parents to actually adopt the child.
It's part of the revolution that's going to be keeping going, isn't it?
You need somebody to sing about a revolution.
I think there's one perfectly obvious person to sing about a revolution.
Who would that be?
Tracy Chapman.
I can hear a Tracy Chapman right now.
And I think it's Tracy Chapman's birthday this week, isn't it?
How coincidental.
Don't you know?
Sure it is.
Talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know?
Joy 94.9.
And that was Tracy Chapman talking about a revolution.
Which we have to have here for getting our same-sex marriage through. And, of course, we've been sort of promoting that on that phone number too, haven't we? But I can't remember what it is. About same-sex, you can call a phone number and send a message to your politician. There is
indeed.
Something there. We've been playing that.
We played that earlier today.
Yes, I did hear
marriage,
it.
Australian marriage equality. Just put that into your search engine and it will pop up.
Yep, and then you can send off your little message and it'll pass on to the politician.
Mm.
Yes, but we don't want to revolt.
No.
We don't want the people to say the gays are revolting.
We're not. We're gorgeous.
We're trying to end such statements.
Yeah, we're not revolting. We're gorgeous.
You were right about Tracy Chapman having a birthday, 30th of March.
Yes, she's a bit March baby.
Born in 1964.
Yep.
So she would have seen plenty of things, and some for the first time ever.
Yep.
Some are actually repeats of previous events.
She actually never mentions her sexuality, but she was dating another woman for quite a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she never mentions, she says, my private life is my own, my public life is when I'm out performing, and my private life is when I'm at home. And good on her for keeping it that way too. Because some of these investigative journalists with inverted commas, gossip people like Perez Hilton or someone like that, they just love those sort of stories,
For a scoop.
People have a right to be private if they want to. Even if they are in the public eye, they still have a right to privacy. Mm.
Well, on the 25th of March 1995, the precursor of all modern wikis made its debut. Now, we're not talking about a character from Star Wars or anything like that. There was a Wookiee, wasn't it?
Wookiee Wiki.
Yes, a Wiki is an Italian, Hawaiian word. And now I got Italian in there.
Oh, well.
And it basically means quick.
Uh-huh.
And the only time I've ever seen it used is at Honolulu Airport, where the little bus that takes you from terminal to terminal is the Wiki Wiki bus.
Oh,
right. And it's the only quick thing on the island of Hawaii.
everything else is in slow-mo.
It's Hawaiian time.
Yeah, dahori, dahori, tomorrow, and tomorrow.
It's wonderful.
But
yeah, they hijacked the word wiki.
Yeah,
because they wanted these facts to be found quickly.
Quickly. And who invented this, Phil? You've got all that. You would have lived through the start of this, wouldn't you? Well, we all did, but you would have been there, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I don't live in cyberspace.
Yeah, but you would have been there and done that.
1995, I would have been back in Melbourne. All that fast.
No.
All right.
And, of course, from just these posting these little quick things, the Wikipedia, the encyclopedia online was sort of created, and it's a common document, and you can edit it and update it and add facts and figures information to other people. So it's a big world notice board.
The original one was the Wiki Web.
Yeah.
And it was Ward Cunningham.
Yeah, that's
was
right.
The guy.
Yeah.
And it was for computer programmers to share their ideas.
Uh-huh.
So this is expanded into...
And then the two other guys, Jimmy Wales and Larry Sanger, in 2001, they started Wikipedia, where you could just add bits and pieces to any information that was put up there.
It's a curious concept in that the audience can edit the content.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Because it's led to some interesting misinformation.
There's quite a few people have deleted items that have been on Wikipedia, haven't they? They've sort of said that it was all wrong, so they've just deleted it.
Well, you see a lot of celebrities interviewed on TV and they look themselves up on Wikipedia to see how their careers are going. Because you get everybody's opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's quite far from the truth.
Well, it could possibly be too. Yeah, yeah. It's a great resource, though, if you're looking for some information about something.
If you're looking for a good story, it'll be there.
Actually, some of the things that they do put up there are very interesting. Well, I love doing crossword puzzles. I'm a real puzzle maniac, you know. I go as far as I can with the general knowledge that's there, and then I'll go into Wikipedia and I'll look up some of the things that are really quite obtuse as far as I'm concerned.
You need a Wikipedia version where you can just type in the clue from the crossword puzzle and it'll come back with the answer.
Most crossword puzzles have the clue in them. You can see the clue that you're looking for and you'll get it, and then you look it up in Wikipedia and you'll finally get... Sometimes you have to read a lot to find the answer, but you will find it there.
Don't you hate that when you've got to read a lot?
Oh, it's terrible when you've got to read.
Oh. All those letters,
yes. It's unbelievable. Why should we do it? Yeah. Look at the time. It's nearly 6 minutes to one already. Goodness
Indeed.
Me. Indeed. Well, where's it gone? What have we done? We haven't done much for an hour,
have
we?
We've got a little bit of time to talk about Monsieur Guillotine.
Oh, Monsieur Guillotine.
On 29th of March 1738. He was a...
French doctor, wasn't he?
He was a humanitarian physician and a member of a minor political reform movement that wanted to banish the death penalty completely. So he actually sought a painless method for capital punishment as an interim step towards completely banning the death penalty. So prior to the guillotine, of course, they just had the axe, the chopper, which had a bit of a curved blade. But he worked on a guillotine with a German engineer and harpsichord maker, Tobias Schmidt, to develop a concept of a machine that would behead painlessly.
Yeah, but because it's done with an angled blade, of course, that thing goes down and slices straight through.
He should have worked with Mr. Gillette.
indeed, yes. You're right.
But see, before that, when they were banging away with an axe and a bit of a sword or something or other, sometimes it would take three or four whacks before the head was off. And so that they...
Off with his head!
Yeah, off with his head, indeed. Yeah. But it didn't happen, you see. So, Monsieur Guillotine...
And, of course, it takes the brain a little while to die once it's left the body.
All right.
So the French, being nice and compassionate, used to put magazines in the basket where the head landed.
So they could read for a little while.
Thank you very much, Phil. On that note...
Always a good note.
We'll say cheery poos and see you next
week.
We'll
see you next
Thanks
week.
Thanks very much.
And congratulations
for being with us
to Nina for winning that beautiful book. Nina, we'll get it out to you. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It'll be there for you. And good luck too.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.